Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday morning. It's April 19th, 2021. Hope you are doing well on this Monday. I'm a little bit emotionally exhausted, but exhilarated at the same time after an incredible week of our Ave Maria Radio Spring Drive, which, thanks be to God, was very successful. We made our goal. Thank you. And we heard from people in almost every single state of the Union, which is phenomenal. And it's so important because we team up, as you know, with EWTN to bring you incredible radio on EWTN Radio. Then we had our Listening for God conference over the weekend, and I was trying to take in as many talks as I could, and I'm telling you, they were off the charts. So thanks to all our speakers. Thanks to all of those who registered and went in to watch some of the live content, and thanks to our sponsors, and thanks also to Ave Maria Radio and EWTN for their great help and great support in getting the word out. You can still, if you'd like to go on and purchase actually the content, you can do that now. But I just want to say thank you because it was really well worth it. It's a lot of work putting on these conferences, especially virtually, because this is still kind of a whole new world for us, even though we have many of these conferences going on. But at the same time, I'll tell you what, if you sit down, and I've participated now in many of these great online events, you kind of figure if you look at all the speakers that they bring together, normally it's like 50 to 75 speakers. If you were to break that down into going to a conference, most conferences, if they're one day or even a weekend, usually have 3 to 4, maybe 5 speakers, and they run anywhere. If they're one day, they usually run about $50, $60. And if you think about the value, and even just being able to watch it for free over the weekend, it's crazy. Because you have, I would say, you can compare it to, in terms of the number of speakers and the content, about 15, 16 actual Catholic conferences. Anyway, the talks were amazing. I learned so much. Father Leo had a great talk about using the acronym VOICE. And I don't know, there's so much to talk about. I don't have time to go into it. But I was very refreshed, and I really needed it too. I mean, the whole conference was based on the book Listening for God and how we listen for God. But the talks were so raw. One of our wonderful listeners, James, wrote me this morning. He said, wow. He said the people really shared from the depths of their heart and soul. So I want to thank the speakers, too, because they took the time out of their busy schedule to share something special. Okay, I want to mention coming up, I'm so grateful for the ministry in so many ways of our dear friend, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He is going to come on at about 15 minutes past the hour after the news and talk about all the division in our country, all the strife, and now that we have the case of former police officer Derek Chauvin going to the jury today, cities around the country are bracing for more unrest in the streets. And what about all the racial divide? How do we look at this from a Catholic perspective? Because we know about the evil of racism. The church has many, many teachings on this. And Deacon Harold is the perfect person to discuss this from a Catholic perspective in terms of his knowledge as a deacon, as an author, as a speaker, as someone who's been on the airwaves with us here for many years at EWTN, who can address all of this from a scriptural and Catholic perspective, but also as a law enforcement expert with an extensive background in law enforcement, and also as an African-American leader and brother in the Lord. So he'll bring everything to the table today so we can talk about this, and how do we respond as concerned Catholics? Where's the balance here? Because I don't think it's helpful to do what some of these groups are suggesting in wiping out and defunding the police completely. But as Deacon Harold has mentioned on this program before, there does need to seem still, even after the death of George Floyd last year, there seems to be still a lot that needs to be addressed within police departments. So there's a whole range of topics to talk about. Most importantly, how do we look at this as believers in Jesus in the Catholic Church? So Deacon Harold is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. And then I'm so excited to talk about this beautiful ministry, Natural Womanhood. And I'm on their email list, and I get there quarterly. They're having next week a webcast with my little sis, you know her well, Uju Ikiocha from Culture of Life Africa. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be alerting pro-life advocates of the major impact around the world, and especially on Africa, of pro-contraceptive policies. and the same situation going on in other developing countries. So you have time to check this out, and we'll give you all the details. It's next week on the Internet, April 29th, with our friend Uju and representatives from Natural Womanhood. So that's our program for today on a busy Monday morning. Hope you're having a good Monday. We do have a lot of news to get through. Never a dull moment. So let's do that right now and see what's happening in and around the world on your Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Holy Father yesterday reappearing at the window of a study in the Apostolic Palace overlooking St. Peter's to greet the faithful and recite the Regina Coeli prayer, the first time since mid-March that he has made direct contact with the people in the square in accordance with the Italian government's decrees to curb the spread of the virus. Holy Father reflecting on the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 24, which tells of how the resurrected Jesus presented himself in the midst of the group of disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." The disciples, he said, are frightened and believe that they saw a ghost. Then Jesus shows them his bodily wounds and says, "See my hands and my feet? It's I myself. Handle me." And to convince them, he asks for food and eats it before their astonished eyes. The Pope explaining three very tangible words characterizing the Gospel passage. They are looking, touching, and eating. He said these are all verbs that reflect our individual and community life and describe actions that can give joy to a true encounter with the living Jesus. Pro-life groups responding to a Kentucky billboard campaign featuring phrases such as "good people have abortions," trying to reconcile religious faith with abortion. Louisville Archbishop Joseph Kurtz affirming the Catholic Church's deep commitment to give voice to the child in the womb while also supporting mothers. Evangelical Franklin Graham is asking Americans to turn to prayer ahead of the Derek Chauvin trial verdict. In a social media post last night, the president of Samaritan's Purse saying the nation has become divided racially and needs God's help. Graham asking that Americans pray the nation would turn to God in repentance and faith in his son. He said Jesus is the way that the nation can be reconciled with God and with man. Meanwhile, the governor of Minnesota is calling for calm as jurors in the Derek Chauvin trial are expected to get the case today. Mark Mayfield fills us in.
Derek Chauvin has been charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter for kneeling on Floyd's neck during an arrest last May. Jurors heard 2 weeks of testimony from dozens of witnesses. As the defense wrapped up its case last week, Chauvin invoked his Fifth Amendment rights and refused to testify.
The Indianapolis community is remembering the 8 victims of a mass shooting at the FedEx facility there. Hundreds of people attending a candlelight vigil over the weekend, including Mayor Joe Hogsett.
Even though we may not have known them, we do love them. We do miss them. And in their name, we continue on.
The victims, ranging in ages from 24 to 74, all 8 killed Thursday night when a former employee of the facility opened fire before taking his own life. The Supreme Court hearing an appeal today in an immigration case that could decide whether hundreds of thousands of immigrants will have to leave the country. That issue was whether around 400,000 immigrants, mostly from El Salvador, who received temporary protected status may apply for green cards even if they have entered the U.S. illegally. They are living in the U.S. under a program that allows foreign nationals to stay if the administration decides conditions in their home countries make returning unsafe. If the justices uphold a lower court ruling, those people would have to leave the U.S. before they could apply for permanent residency. A bipartisan pair of senators says finding agreement between the two sides of the aisle is key to moving America forward.
We are both hoping that in the next few weeks, as we work through committees, that we will end up being together on a bill that will invest in American competitiveness.
Speaking on Fox News Sunday, Delaware Democrat Chris Coons and Texas Republican John Cornyn say lawmakers are actively looking to find common ground to get legislation through Congress. The pair agreeing that about $800 billion in traditional infrastructure spending on items such as roads and bridges would probably pass if it were its own bill. Coons saying finding unity would show that lawmakers could solve Americans' everyday problems. And also crucial to the country's standing in the world, Cornyn saying the parties are not as divided on as some issues as they appear to be in the papers or on the cable news shows. Starting today, as Tracy Potts tells us, most Americans are now eligible to get a coronavirus vaccination.
TV, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat expect to see President Biden, Vice President Harris, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and others from the administration blanketing the airwaves and social media today as the COVID vaccine becomes available to everyone over age 16.
The CDC reporting 32% of adults are fully vaccinated. Almost 50% have gotten at least one dose. Public health officials are worried about how available vaccines are since administrations of the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine are paused, but that hold is expected to be lifted on Friday. There are a few things that taxpayers need to know about paying taxes in this unique year still impacted by COVID-19.
There are actually some special provisions that take account of the fact that people were adversely affected during 2020.
Eric Smith of the IRS says that there are some really popular credits for families that low, moderate, and even middle-income families may benefit from. Smith adding there's also something that will help self-employed individuals with their taxes this year as well. If you could not take on the responsibilities of your business because of the coronavirus, there's a way to take a special tax credit. And history has been made on NASA's Ingenuity Mars helicopter. It carried out the first powered flight on another planet.
Altimeter data confirms that Ingenuity has performed its first flight. The first flight of a powered aircraft on another planet.
The flight taking place around 12:30 Eastern Time over the weekend, but didn't reach Earth until 3 hours later. An image showed the shadow of the helicopter on the surface of the red planet as it hovered in the thin atmosphere. Video from the nearby Perseverance lander showing the helicopter hovering 3 meters above the surface. A 4-pound helicopter first arrived on the Martian surface February 18th with its parent, the Perseverance rover. It was hoping to do the flight last week, but it ran into some problems. And finally, in our new segment about 12 minutes past the hour, interesting story out of the Vatican concerning science. The Society of Catholic Scientists planning to address non-human intelligence at its 2021 conference in June in D.C. Scientific and theological insights will be offered about extraterrestrial and artificial intelligence. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about a divided nation and what we can do to help heal it. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is coming up on the day today that the case of George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, the police officer charged with killing him, it's coming up today. It goes to the jury and then a possible verdict very soon. We'll be right back.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages, and I'm so excited to announce 2 domestic pilgrimages this time. 1 to the Shrines of Wisconsin, where we're going to be joined by Cardinal Raymond Burke. We're going to have a consecration to St. Joseph and Our Lady of Good Help for the apparition of Mary that happened there. Also, we're going to St. Augustine, Florida, where the Catholic Church actually started, the first Mass ever, and we're going to be joined by Father Frank Pavone.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, 2 of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Proud to call Deacon Harold a friend, and he's a deacon, so we bonded over that very quickly when I first met him. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, known around the world as the dynamic deacon. I think that's a huge understatement if you ever heard him speak in person. He's such a powerful speaker. He's also one of the most sought-after speakers in the church today, powerful and passionate evangelist and preacher. and he has a no-nonsense approach to living and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. It challenges all of us. Deacon, great to talk to you again, my friend.
It's great to be with you as always, Teresa. Thank you for having me.
A sad day, a sad week. I mean, it's been a sad time. So many problems in our country. And first of all, let me get your thoughts from both a Catholic perspective. Well, I'm going to throw three things at you. Catholic deacon, you're a powerful speaker. You know the faith so well. You have a great deal of common sense when it comes to law enforcement because of your background. But then as an African-American brother in the Lord, you're well aware of many of the issues that we face regarding the evil of racism in our world today. So kind of, if you can reflect on what you've been thinking about as we get into this day where this case now goes to the jury.
Yeah, so the first thing I'm thinking about is we need to be praying for the repose of the souls of Duante Wright and George Floyd and their families, and for the officers and everyone involved in these cases, because everyone wants to see that justice is done. So we definitely, first of all, need to pray. And the second thing, as far as the reactions to what's been happening, you know, Martin Luther King once said, we have to adopt a method toward peace that rejects violence and revenge and retaliation. And I think we as Catholics can really step up and be that voice of reason and faith and peace in this really impassioned and volatile situation that has arisen in these cases and others. You know, we need to be the voice of Jesus, you know, and let the justice system do its work.
So how do we do that, though? Because it's such a sensitive issue, and if you weigh in on this, there can even be sometimes, depending on how we express ourselves, it can be so sensitive and so volatile, Deacon.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, you look at the cases of like George Floyd, like from a law enforcement perspective, you know, there is no technique where you kneel on someone's neck for 9 minutes. I mean, there's no place where that's taught. So you have to ask yourself, when you see something like that, is he doing this because George Floyd was black? Or if there was any other suspect, no matter what race in that situation, would he have done the same thing? And so the initial response has been, well, that's a racist act. He's just doing it because he was black. But what has to be in the officer's mind at the time is, if it's a racially motivated incident, is that my race is superior to this other guy's race. Therefore, I get to treat him as less of a human being, and that's why I'm doing this. So that's what you have to determine if you're going to call it a racist act. And the same thing with this officer with this the discharging her firearm instead of her taser. She would have said, the reason I'm doing this, I'm deliberately knowing that I'm just pulling my sidearm instead of my taser because my race is superior to this other guy's race, and I just want to see, you know, the elimination of black. I mean, that's what you have to say that was a racist act. I think in the second case, with Mr. Wright, I think it was, looks to me, looking objectively at the whole thing, it was an accidental discharge. But at the same time, I think the charge against her is justified. There's been a couple other cases where there's been an accidental discharge like that, and the officers involved were fired, and they were charged with second-degree murder, which is what the officer in this case is charged with as well. So, again, if you look at the history of this, everything that's happening is happening, is very consistent with what's happened in the past and how the situation was dealt with.
Okay. So in terms of our role, what can be some of the ways we can instill peace in this very volatile? You mentioned we have to speak up as Catholics, but I think a lot of people are afraid to speak up because this is such a explosive hot button issue.
Yeah, they are afraid to speak up, but that's especially now is where they need to hear our voice. I mean, there's one thing to stand with the family and support them and to show them the love of Christ, you know, but yes, we do it without what does the violence and the looting have to do with it?
Right.
Going into people's businesses, breaking in, stealing stuff from the store. What does that have to do with what's going on? And see, situations like that make things worse. Because in a sense you're pulling attention away from the case and from justice, and now you're focused on these other things which has nothing to do with what's going on. So I think we as Catholics, we can say yes, we can stand with the families and with the people. I mean, obviously very emotional, but at the same time, we could be examples of, you know, having peaceful protests, candlelight vigils, things like that. And as juxtaposed to the way the response is happening in some corners right now.
We're talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you know him well from his great work on EW10, his many books and talks, dynamic speaker, joining us this morning. Also has an extensive law enforcement background. I know when after the George Floyd death happened last year, you came on and we were talking about the need for a look at what's happening with police and the training, and more training needed to be done as to why something like this could happen. How do you think that's been addressed in the last year since we talked about this? Have we made any progress in that area of really going into these departments and looking at what they're doing, and at the same time not wiping all departments out, as one of our Michigan congresswomen was saying last week, which is, you know, she did get a lot of pushback from other Democrats on that, but there's everybody seems to be either on one end or the other. But what are you seeing inside the departments around the country?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, I don't have my foot in that door anymore, but
right.
My sense is, from speaking with my law enforcement colleagues, that it's not being done on a wide basis. But let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. One of the things I think needs to be fixed all around the board at the academy level is identifying bias. So, of course, officers take mental health tests, right? They usually take the MMPI. But the MMPI doesn't screen for biases. So, for example, if you're in the traffic stop class, everyone's learning the same techniques on how to do traffic stops, but it doesn't identify and train out the biases for the person who's in that class who are learning these techniques, and then they have the added bias of, I don't like black people, so I'm going to use these techniques that I'm learning, because I know whenever I pull off of a black person, they're probably going to have a... I mean, that's kind of, see, that's what's not identified and trained out. So what we need to do is to be able to find different ways, whether psychological testing or otherwise, to identify biases and potential biases in officers, and to deal with it then, and not wait till these guys get on the street and maybe use the techniques that they're learning to hurt someone, when everybody should be treated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is the single biggest thing that needs to be done. In fact, the Police Research Institute, this is interesting, they said that officers need to be trained to see the humanity in the person. And that is the very first principle of Catholic social teaching.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
The human being.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing that needs to be done right now.
So today it goes to, we're going to hear the closing arguments, it'll go to the jury. Are you concerned? There seems to be a level of raised concern and anticipation. Many of the cities are gearing up, New York City and others, for what could possibly happen either way, depending on the final decision, the verdict. What are your thoughts as to what we can pray about specifically going into this day, Deacon?
Well, again, we have to pray for the repose of the soul of George Floyd. We have to pray for their families. We have to pray for an atmosphere of calm. Because here's the thing. The real cross of prayer is to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of every single situation in our lives. So whatever happens, we have to remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether we feel the decision is just or unjust, we have to ask ourselves, how is the Lord working into this situation right now? And how can I, as a follower of Christ, especially as a Catholic, someone who receives Jesus in word and sacrament, and then is kicked out at the end of Mass by the deacon, and we're impelled to go forward to the Eucharist to the world,
right,
to be witnesses of God's love, even in very difficult situations. You know, when priests and deacons preach about this from the ambo at Mass, when they are charged people to go out and be witnesses, here's what this peaceful protest should look like. Here's how we can stand with the families, but at the same time, make sure that justice is served. Maybe if they don't feel it's done in the legal system, but we can be witnesses of that love to the world and to our families. So I think, you know, the more we can do that, I think the more peaceful these protests will be when the verdict comes down.
One of the things that we could talk about this, Deacon, when we come back, it's almost 25 minutes past the hour, we have to take a break, that really frustrated me last year was this call for sending social workers into particular situations such as domestic violence situations. Now, I know from my days as a street reporter, because I covered a lot of domestic incidents, domestic shootings, domestic arguments where police were called to this, that, or the other thing. And my brother-in-law was a state police trooper in Pennsylvania for years, and he said those were some of the most difficult, volatile situations you ever walk into as a police officer, because the emotions are all off, are all over the place, and oftentimes substance abuse may be involved. And then people come along and say, well, we can just send a different type of person to investigate. That really, I mean, from what I saw from my own eyes, 20 years on the street as a reporter who was always talking to police, again, I don't have a law enforcement background, but I walked into many of those situations when I covered them and saw the emotion that was expressed and the problems the police were having. I want to talk about that when we come back, and also what more we can do as Catholics as we wait for the verdict that goes to the jury today after closing arguments in the case of the murder of George Floyd, and also the verdict on Derek Chauvin, the former police officer. We'll be right back. Minutes past the hour. We help you look at everything, as Al always says, Al Crestor, through the lens of Scripture, the teachings of the one holy Catholic apostolic faith. With us, the wonderful Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, you know from his great work on EWTN, his many speaking engagements. He's actually out on a speaking assignment this morning. I was glad that he wasn't in his home state of Portland, so he didn't get up at the crack of dawn to do the interview. But it's not too bad for him this morning. DeaconHarold.com is his website. Check out his great books and speaking events, life coaching, all kinds of things that he does. Again, DeaconHarold.com. Okay, you know, I mentioned this during the before the break, and then you and I were talking. And you know that my background, I was a general assignment reporter and anchor for years, and I spent a lot of time in the inner city covering a lot of crime stories, and all over the place covering crime stories, but a lot in some pretty rough areas of Metro Detroit. And oftentimes when police were called into a situation and they find out that it's domestic, that would turn out to be some of the most volatile because of the emotions involved. And yet last year we heard right away, well, we're just going to restructure the police and we're going to use social workers to go and end these domestic disputes. And these images came to my head, Deacon, of my days on the street as a reporter, seeing what the police had to go through and trying to calm a situation like that. That, to me, seemed way out there and not a way we should be going. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying in terms of recognizing biases, better training, but dismantling the police, and one congresswoman last week asked, saying we should wipe out the police. Your thoughts?
Okay, so one of the things you're taught as a police officer, there's a force continuum. The very first rung of that ladder on the continuum is verbal de-escalation. And so that was something I emphasized with my officers when I was a chief, was to focus on verbal de-escalation, getting, you know, and I taught by example. So I would go out on calls, and I would, you know, we'd be in a volatile situation with someone who was drunk or high or something like that, and we'd work with them. But there's been many times, Teresa, and I remember one time in particular, I was taking the lead because I wanted to show the officers how this was done. And I thought, okay, we got this guy calmed down. This is going great, you know, and we can resolve this peacefully. And literally, just like that, the guy turned and lunged at me. Like, he just, I was like, whoa, boom, all of a sudden we got people jumping on him, have to get him contained. I mean, so that's the volatility of the situation like that. You're exactly right. You walk into a domestic situation, and not all of the time, but a lot of the time, the person is under the influences of alcohol or some controlled substance, and now you have to try to deal with this situation, which could be dangerous for a lot of people. So you're working to try to use the techniques that you learn to get the situation calmed down, but it could turn on a dime. And if you send a social worker into a situation like that, they're going to get hurt.
Right.
You know, so I think where social workers could come in, maybe they could be part of the academy in scenario-based training, where the social worker is, you know, they're creating a situation of a domestic, and the officer is trying to deal with it, and the social worker is saying, okay, here's something you can say right now, or here. You know, and work at the academy level with the social workers, instead of, like, you know, having them go out with the officers, and then now the officer has to worry about another person being kept safe and out of harm's way while they deal with the situation that's going on.
Yeah, and to me, that makes a lot more sense, and that actually would give them an insight into what happens in these situations and these relationships when they get volatile, right?
Exactly. So the social worker can give, you're exactly right, Teresa. You nailed it. They can give the officer insight. So the officer
right.
mentally is approaching the situation from a different perspective.
And understanding what's going on. Okay. Yeah, this is what happened.
Yeah.
This is a husband and wife, or this is a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or a father and a son, and this is what they've been up against. This is a possible scenario. Who knows? But to have that, to do, you know, and we do that. When I do media training, I give them a scenario and walk them through a situation, whether it's a crisis media, whether it's a press conference, whatever it is, so they can understand it when it actually happens.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And again, this I think that kind of training, and I think the bias training that we talked about before, and I think even doing citizens academies, where you have regular citizens come in and you have them, you know, you give them, you know, the what we call the red gun, you know, which is a toy gun, a fake gun, and train them to do traffic stop and have them do it and see what they would do in that situation. When the guy, we're asking them for the driver's license registration short, and the person gets out of their car and start walking towards you, what would you do in that situation? You know, or go on ride-alongs with the officers, kind of see what they have to deal with on a daily basis. I think all those things, together with our Catholic response, are definitely ways that things can improve.
I went on a lot of ride-alongs in my day, Deacon, and it was quite eye-opening, let me tell you. But I think if we don't walk in someone's shoes, and whatever side of the issue we're talking about this morning, as you mentioned, in terms of recognizing the biases, that we really have to understand and take some time and really look at this and pray about it and research it, as opposed to just coming up with all these ideas that have no basis in reality in terms of a situation as you just described. Not saying that change isn't necessary and that we have to review these things, but there's so much emotion, and that's all we see on the evening news and online is emotion and anything that we can do to trump up discord, you know, trump up discord between people. And that's causing more damage at the end of the day, not solving any problems in terms of addressing the issue of real racism and then looking at what can be done at the police level.
You're exactly right, because if everything is race, 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 then that's what's going to get the emotions high. I think we could take a step back and look at the situation to determine what was the action this officer took. Was it racially motivated? What was in the officer's mind? What was the intent? And that's what we have to determine. Everything just kept going, oh, it's race, they murdered this kid. I mean, you can't do that. And I think the news media, you know, with whatever agenda they have, are making things worse when they could be making things better. And that's why I think we have to step up and show people how we can support families that are grieving, but at the same time do it in a way that's peaceful, that respects the legacy of Martin Luther King and others who fought and gave their lives so that things can change in a peaceful way.
Yeah, absolutely. The media, I understand them covering it, but you're right in terms of inciting more problems. There was a very interesting clip that went viral last week. I don't know if you saw it, of one of the reporters from CNN out there, and a man came up and he was very frustrated. He said, "You people are a big part of the problem." I can't repeat what he said because he used a lot of bad language. He was very frustrated. And he said, "You should leave. You're not helping the situation any. You're making it much worse." And I think a lot of people could relate to what he was saying. Deacon, great discussion. Thank you so much. Where are you speaking today or this week?
Yes, I'm in Algona, Iowa, at the Five Saints community. It's basically five parishes, or
wow,
four parishes, the Saints Peter and Paul, so that those two saints count as one, in Algona, Iowa this week, speaking. So if you're in the area, come by. Love to see you.
And you're doing a parish mission or parish missions?
Yes, this is a parish mission. It's a makeup from 2020.
Yeah, I had
so
one of those.
I just
did one. I know we're all making up our engagements, right, that we got canceled. I just did a parish mission in Ann Arbor.
That's right.
After it was supposed to be, it was planned for 2 years. Anyway, thanks for taking the time out of your very busy and amazing schedule to speak with us. My dear friend, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, who, by the way, is going to be on the Marriage Cruise with us next year, 2022, the Good News Cruise. AveMariaRadio.net has all that information. He's going to be there speaking along with Father John Ricardo, Archbishop Chaput, Kimberly, and Scott Hahn, Al and Sally Cresta, yours truly, and Deacon Dom, and Dr. Ray Guarindi. Deacon Harold's going to be with us. He spoke for us before the cruise last year, and he's going to be with us on the ship next year. We're so excited. We'll be right back. on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. DeaconHerald.com, great website.